Welcome. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Oh, hang on. Putting some finishing touches on the show there. I am your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks will be up in just a second. He's downstairs. But I know he's here and he'll be available. So if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you can give us a call, 504-260-0995. Angie Bones. There you go. All right. Hey, I want to direct your attention to the Facebook page, Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. This is your wallet's favorite show. You know, podcast can be found, winningitlife.com, Winning It Life app. You know what the show's about, right? So if you go to the Facebook page of Winning It Life right now, there's a picture of a couple of cute little blonde boys on it. I'll explain that in just a minute. Some history being made today coming up in the numbers segment. We're going to follow the numbers segment with a little bit of talk about Trump. Kind of hinted that he's going to be changing some retirement planning rules. There was an executive order signed today that, and look, executive orders sometimes can actually have immediate consequences. This is one of those that directs people to go do things. So hopefully down the line, if everything works out, you know, barring some court action here, that we could have a change in the required minimum distribution age. The discussion there is that he wants to move that up to 72. That would be significant. And I don't see that there's any downside to that. Of course, we'll ask Gregory about it in a little bit. But there's another part of the executive order that he talked about today where he is going to allow small employers to pool together in sort of a co-op fashion and go have an easier time getting health care for their employees like that. So small business owners and self-employed people, you want to stick around for that segment as well. But back to the picture that we put on the Winning It Life Facebook page today. Those two little blonde boys are my boys, Rex and Atticus, and their new shirts are from Drew Brees. Drew Brees got my kids a couple shirts. He bought them shirts. How? Well, because me and Drew Brees are buddies. We go way back. You know, we're both from Texas, and we've known each other for... No, that's not it. Drew Brees has a new business venture. I don't know if you've seen this, but this came across my email this week where I got a letter from my elementary school. Don't be alarmed, parents. All your kids are going to come home with a new shirt tomorrow. This is from Untuck It, and I've seen those commercials. The shirts that are supposed to be worn untucked and still look fashionable. All right, I got it. That's a cool, kitschy little concept. But Drew Brees is their latest investor, so he's throwing a whole lot of money at it, and they're going to do some expanding based on that money, similar to what he did with Walk-Ons and Jimmy John's and a few other businesses here. And as part of a local promotion, a handful of schools that got picked out, and every one of the kids in that elementary school got an Untuck It shirt. So I have three kids in elementary school. I got three Untuck It shirts. One of them doesn't fit the girl, so really it's just for the boys. But technically speaking, my boys have shirts that Drew Brees bought them, and there's big old air quotes there, but that's kind of cool if you want to go check that out. The whole reason they do that is so people will talk about it, and here I am. It worked. So that's pretty cool. We'll follow up with that and see if this guy hits another home run in the business world. But we did a show about that, and it must have been at least a year ago, if not two, and we were detailing all the little branches of the Drew Brees business tree, and this is adding another one on there, and I can't even keep up with them all. Like I said, he's got the Jimmy John's and the Walk-Ons, and then he had the gym in Metairie, and now he's doing the shirts, and he's all over the place. Okay, so to the news of the day. Let's start with the deadline that was a soft deadline for today. But when the deal was finalized between the United States and Mexico in the new trade agreement, there was a deadline that was placed on Canada saying, hey, if we want to make this a new NAFTA, you have until Friday before this all this paperwork goes through. If you want to be part of this, if you want to be on this bandwagon and get on this train Friday. All right, so today's Friday. Did they get it done? No, they didn't get it done, but it didn't fall through. No one's leaving the table. The talks aren't over. The talks are gonna resume on Tuesday. This is an ongoing process. They're just not going to be on the same little wagon train as Mexico. So here's Chrystia Freeland, the Canadian trade minister, who is in America to oversee the negotiations, talking this morning.
I am 70.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong button there. Here's Chrystia Freeland.
Good morning. Both the Canadian and the U.S. teams have been working hard this morning, as we have been for more than a year now on this very important negotiation. We are not there yet, as has been the case from the very beginning, Canada is a country that is good at finding win-win compromises. Having said that, in trade negotiations, in this negotiation, we always stand up for the national interest, and that is what we're going to continue to do. We're looking for a good deal, not just any deal, and we will only agree to a deal that is a good deal for Canada. We're not there yet.
All right, so that's the main takeaway. We're not there yet, but she seems sort of upbeat and positive that a deal is going to happen. Just a matter of time. She almost sounds disappointed that she thought maybe it could have been done by today, but they're just falling in line. You know, that was one of the things that Gregory and I talked about when the guy Junker from the EU showed up and said, oh, you know what, this whole trade war thing, we changed our mind on this. We're just going to cave, whatever we got to take to avoid it. Our economy's already going in the dumps over here as it is, and we can barely hold this whole EU thing together. They called uncle. And so Mexico was right after that. Canada looks like they're going to show up. Heck, they almost did it this week. They might have a deal as soon as next week. And so then where'd all this trade war happen that's supposed to tear down the economy and supposed to be, oh, headwinds on the stock market and on GDP growth? Well, we're running out of people who we have a problem with. And all eyes are on China and Russia now. Those are about the only two people that are significant economies that we haven't worked it out with so far. So things are looking pretty good.
Yeah, remember, trade wars are supposed to work out bad. Nobody wins.
If they last longer than 2 months, maybe. But we're what, maybe 2 months into this one. So,
well, I don't remember them saying it's bad if it goes longer than 2 months. It's just the whole thing was, oh, we don't want to get into a trade war. We don't want to do tariffs. It ends bad.
Yeah, they oversold the doom big time. That's why you got to put caveats in there. What if we have a trade war for a day? Is that bad? Or if it only lasts a week? Because the EU was just under the mat for a week, and they got out from under that one quick. They're like, we're not playing this game anymore. So there you go. This is a bright, shiny day, and this leads to a little more optimism. We can go ahead and strengthen the case that there's going to be another rate hike in September and probably another one to follow that before year's end. We can go ahead and say that little barrier you have from the Dow passing its record, that just the resistance there just got a little lighter. We saw the NASDAQ. Well, I don't want to do the number segment now, but I'm just giving you this is part of a bigger context of optimism out there, and this is the next piece to fall in line. We had a bunch of them fall in place this week. I mean, just think about what happened this week. On Monday, we passed the record, or we got the deal with Mexico. On Wednesday, we beat the record for the longest all-time bull market in the history of ever. And the NASDAQ just had its best August in 18 years. So we were all busy during this August, a lot going on. But when you go back and you look at just the recent history, a lot of positive stuff. All right, let's go ahead and move on to what could affect you pretty soon here. And that is Trump's executive orders that were signed. Let's go ahead and start with the discussion that was being had this morning when the news leaked out that he was going to have the press conference this afternoon. There was Varney on Fox Business saying, hey, are we going to do something about RMDs? Because I don't want to take RMDs. And if I don't have to, then this is a good thing. Because the talk is moving them up from 70 and a half to 72.
I am 70. Come January the 1st, I will be 70 and a half. And I absolutely do not want to take money out of my 401k, my IRA. I've saved for my entire lifetime. I don't want to take the money out. Thank you very much indeed, Mercedes. Thank you very much, President Trump. I think you're going to help me out. Not deliberately, but I think you're going to help me out.
And the good thing about this is there's no negative consequences. If you need to take distributions from your IRA before age 72, you can. There's no one stopping you. It's just going to delay them forcing you to take the required minimum distributions. So this can only help and not hurt. You know, the person that does get hurt by this, I guess you could consider the IRS is getting hurt because they got to wait another year and a half before they can start getting tax money off of the distributions. But that's the only negative, and
well,
that's not much.
The Treasury.
Okay, Treasury.
He can't make it happen, but he can just really what that comes down to. He's encouraged the Treasury to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take the IRS and Treasury to make that decision. But it could come down to if they look at the effect on tax on revenues, and that could cause it to not happen. Government's kind of depending on that. You know, we have 10,000 people a day turning 70 and a half.
I guess we do, don't we?
Yeah.
And Mercedes Schlapp has a few details on the Varney Show this morning on Fox Business.
What the president's going to sign today in North Carolina is basically retirement security executive order. And this will direct the Department of Labor and the Department of Treasury to basically review our regulations that would allow businesses, small businesses, to be able to band together to ensure that they can afford retirement plans.
Well, we already have a legal structure for that. It's called making a co-op, and you can make that to do various things. But it sounds like there's some regulations that prevent businesses, small businesses, from making some form of a legal co-op and then buying insurance like that. And if we're going to not add to the register and we're going to take regulations off in order to solve a problem, you're singing my song. So I like the sound of this.
Well, a third of the people do not have retirement plans, so something needs to be done. Myra, they tried a few years ago, was a total failure. It wasn't utilized. It still doesn't mean that everybody will take advantage or participate. What would be interesting to see if a concept like that does work, where firms can co-op. And what we're talking about is fees. I think our 401k, and I think the annual fee is somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 on the firm 401k.
Per account?
No, for the 401k. Oh, okay.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, and there might be some other fees as we go each year on that. And then you've got the have to have an administrator, and there's some costs for them as well. But would be interesting to see if you can get more firms of co-op, which basically I assume would drop their fees. If you have 10 firms, maybe it's costing them a couple hundred dollars a year for the firm to have it and their employees if they opt in. As far as this co-oping, is it going to be something where the firms are matching the contributions, or is it just making it available to them is the core concept? So then I would want to see, let's say we were able to get this where all... So what would you consider businesses? All entities like subchapter S, LLCs, you know, chapter C corporations, you know, all of those have plans to participate in. What about sole proprietors? Okay. But let's just go to those businesses that have structure, and let's say all of them get 401k plans. How many people are not going to participate at that point still? It's a curious question.
Well, I'm sorry you caught me listening to you and not doing a show here. All right, so we fast forward to this afternoon because my wheels are turning now. And Trump goes and he's in Charlotte. He signs the executive order. Actually, I didn't see him sign the executive order, but this was supposed to be a signing statement afterwards. So he goes out and introduces all these politicians, but he makes a couple of good points here. First off, his summary of it is not nearly as detailed as Gregory's, much less Mercedes Schlapp, but still.
We will accomplish this goal by reducing regulatory barriers, allowing small businesses to band together to create low-cost association retirement plans. Such a big thing. They'll be banding together. They'll have such strength. They'll be able to negotiate incredible deals because they'll have big numbers. And I will tell you, I already know a lot of companies are getting together. They're making incredible deals, Alex. And it's because of what you've done in your group. That's just a fantastic thing. So I want to thank you. In other words, small businesses will be able to pool their resources so that they can have the same purchasing power or even more, frankly, as large businesses.
All right. So there you go. It's not a bad little description. He said the word incredible, I think, three times there. But he's a big fan. Another thing he said here, Gregory, is this true? Listen to this. This is going to be a fact check segment from Gregory Ricks real quick.
We've cut more regulation in less than 2 years than any administration, no matter how long it was, has cut during their entire administration. And
now he talks in hyperbole, but when we saw the Federal Register, that may actually be the case, that he's cut more regulations than any other president in history, just because he had so many more there to cut.
Well, what we're looking is what's been added on to the Federal Registry, and it's a dramatic drop. in the publications. Now, he's not out of office yet, so he's on pace to be the lowest.
Oh, okay. That's clever.
His term's not finished.
I bet you're right.
I don't know if he's a 4-year president, an 8-year president, but he has time. He could go on a, just fly off the handle and just start creating paperwork. I don't think that's him. I think he's on course to fulfill what he said is happening.
Well, if he loses in the midterms and he has to fight an oppositional Congress for 6 years, that could turn around his numbers pretty hard, too. But I like the sound of both of the proposals that are in the works today. I like the sound of letting smaller businesses co-op together and combine to buy insurance or 401k plans for their employees. And also like delaying the RMDs on 401ks and IRAs until age 72. I don't know if either one of these are going to happen, but I like what I hear.
Or would that be 72 and a half?
Man, no one said the word 72 and a half, so don't even throw it out there because we have a chance to simplify things.
Well, we're only delaying it a year and a half then.
Yeah. So that don't give them any ideas, though, because they're going to come out there and be like, okay, well, we can't do it at age 72, but we can do it at age 71.
They are not going to just say 72.
Right, right.
Something simple.
So to make the math work out for PAYGO rules, they'll have to do it at age 71 and 3/4 is what we're going to end
up with. See, what is the required beginning date? April 1st, following the year in which you turn 70 and a half.
Okay.
So they're going to just say, okay, RMDs start when you're 72, age 72, the
Can't
year
it.
In which you're 72.
Or would it
or
be
is
until
it
April?
Going to be the required beginning date is April 1st, following the year in which you turn age 72?
Probably.
Oh, that's like getting too simple right there. You can actually understand it.
Yeah, so that's probably not going to happen. But that's interesting to watch. We have a chance to make it a round whole number. 70 and a half. It's such a goofy law anyway, because it can change. Anyway, let's not even get started with that. Any negative consequences you see to either one of these plans? Lack of tax money, maybe?
The problem with the RMDs being waived, you're going to affect revenues because it's an increasing amount of people and you've got people that have fallen into that, all of a sudden are going to get a break for a year or two. So you're delaying it. So what's the effect on revenues? What has increased that's going to cease? It's basically we're probably giving back 1 year increase on revenues to simplify that explanation. So is that going to be an impact? But one of the things when we go back to retirement plans as well as Social Security, you know, for you, for example, is... Your FRA is 67.
Yes.
Well, you're having to delay starting that. And what's going to be the tendency? We get a lot of people that, you know, I wish I didn't have to take RMDs. They would not take RMDs if they didn't. So we are training people to work longer. And in some cases, they may be retired, but they don't need to turn on the IRA distributions. It's kind of like, okay, I've got to work 67 to get FRA. Well, what the heck? I'm going to go 3 more years and work to 70. You know, the thing of retirement at 65 is not it. People are retiring when they want to retire. If they want to retire earlier and their math it works, they will. And then we're going to shift to working longer because life expectancy is longer. Almost in that sense, you may retire from that job, but you're probably going to do something else. You know, we're going to be living into our 90s. You're going to do nothing for 30 years. You've been having to do stuff since you were 5 or 4. Go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You got out of school. What'd you do? Go to work. And now we're going to not do anything for a few decades. Seems weird.
All right, the numbers are coming up next. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. Live Financial Talk Radio. Give us a call, 504-260-0995.
You want to go ahead and jump into the number segment? Because there's some fun stuff in here.
The Numbers.
Welcome to The Numbers. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world while you were out today winning at life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at, winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. I'm just really excited to get to the short sheet here, but hang on. Patience, Parker. It's a mixed day. The Dow was down just a little bit. It was down 22 points, so not even a tenth of a percent. But look at the old S&P and look at the NASDAQ. The S&P crossed the 2,900 barrier. I know it did it yesterday, but we didn't do a live show yesterday. So it's the first time I'm getting to say it, and I'm a little excited here because that's a landmark. Granted, sort of an arbitrary round number. Not you shouldn't get too excited about it, but it's setting records here. So 2,901.5 is where it finished. The NASDAQ finished 8,109, so it was up a quarter of a point today. Russell finished up a half a percent as well. But the NASDAQ, its best August in 18 years.
10-year Treasuries at 2.860, slight tick up today on that 1/32nd move. Crude oil, $69.88 a barrel. For the good old crude, Brent crude, $77.45. Gold, still hovering just above $1,200. It's $1,206.90. Silver, yes, it's still around neighborhood of 15.5 bucks as well. That's so much for precious metals there. Did you see what Lululemon did today?
That's exactly what I was going to go to. Yeah, that's our big winner. They had a killer earnings report. And
it looks like it's because of increase of online sales.
Yeah, what do they call that? Direct-to-consumer revenue is what we're calling this now, where you don't have to go to the store. They're buying it online. So sales were up 25% and a 48% jump in Lululemon's direct-to-consumer revenue, their online sales. So it's up by, it's doing 1.5 of what it was doing this time last year. Look at the revenue for this company, though. They're expecting revenue in the range of about $3.2 billion for the year. That is a lot of yoga pants, Gregory. They're not selling cars. They're selling pants and tank tops. $3.2 billion.
Fitness is big, and looking good while getting fit is big.
Is it really fitness clothes?
It's yoga.
I got that. But, you know, I could be wearing Nikes and sitting on the couch. I think the majority of time spent in yoga pants is not during exercise. And it's so funny because these are lounge clothes for a lot of people. And Saturday Night Live had a pretty funny skit about it. What you're doing in your yoga pants, you're on one side of the couch. Then you're on the other side of the couch. And then it's stain resistant so you can spill your snacks on it. But who would have guessed? Did you even hear a Lululemon 10 years ago? No. What about 5 years ago? Maybe about 5 years ago is when it came on the radar.
Well, I didn't hear about it 5 years ago.
We might have been talking about it on the show.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
I don't recall radar, but it's just the stock growth. When stocks keep moving up, higher highs, lower highs, higher highs, that gets my attention.
I want to take a look at one of the stocks that we have a little bit of affinity for because of its history, and that's Ford. You see, this thing's under 10 bucks a share now. And it was under 10 bucks a share earlier this month. It got back up to 10 and said, nah, I give up. And it bounced off of it and came back down.
Yeah, only if they were a tech company, couldn't make money, have trouble with production, can't seem to get trucks off the line. It's always problems. And the CEO would tweet a lot, then this stock would probably be worth $300-$400 a share. But no, it's Ford, been around a century. You don't hear from their CEO. They roll out a F-150 about every minute.
Yeah, I think
they have huge cash on hand, and they make about $10,000 every truck that rolls off the line. You know, and it's $9.48 with a 5% dividend. How much is Tesla's dividend? Oh, they don't make money.
Hero, right.
Yeah. Okay.
I got an idea because I like where you were going with your comparison there. That was a beautiful metaphor you're drawing up. So what you're saying is they need to put an F-150 on the moon or maybe shoot it to Venus.
On a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Shoot it out there. Yeah.
Because all you're right. All they do is have the number one selling vehicle in America for the last 38 years. That's all. And I think it's a new F-150 every 90 seconds or whatever it was when they were rubbing it in his face. They're not building these things in a tent.
They had a production problem this year. They seem like Tesla there for a week and a half or two because of a fire at a plant. Next thing you know, boom, and they made up that slack quickly.
Their stock's suffering so bad.
You know, look, I ordered an F-150, and mine was to go into production at that time. Well, I figured the delay was going to affect my order build date, and my build date was changed to one day back. So I only lost one day, even though they had a couple of weeks. So they know how to build vehicles and keep production moving and make a lot of money. And they're $9. And what was the close? Yeah, $9.48. And they pay a 5% dividend.
Amazon crosses the $2,000 per share mark. And if it's about $30 away from being a $1 trillion market capitalization company. Apple just barely beat them there. And it looks like they're going to do it soon, maybe even as soon as next week. They had a great day today. Their stock was up 0.5%. Amazon, how about a split there? Let some of the little guys get in on that. $2,000 a share? How does that change your view on Amazon and putting money towards it?
They just keep growing. Now, the multiple on revenues is ridiculous, but what everybody's investing in is the future of income, that it just keeps going. High confidence there.
I like a little chart here that keeps track of the percent change, how grocery chains have performed since Amazon bought Whole Foods. Now, Amazon itself, this is going back to, it's been exactly a year now. Amazon and Whole Foods came together August 28th of last year, and so here it is, August 31st. Since then, Amazon stock is up 113%. Costco is up 52%. Kroger's up 44%. Whoever does Sprouts, they're at 17%. But there's a couple other grocery chains that are down big time.
$979 billion in market cap.
That's where they're at now? Good job, Amazon. That is it's quite a company you've built there. Here's another thing that I don't know.
For a book company, huh?
That's what they were. Yeah. It's fun when you bring that stuff back up. But Amazon, since its IPO in May of 1997, has gained 134,000%. That's pretty good. 134,390%. So if you invested $1,000 in Amazon at its IPO in 1997, you would have, is that right, $134 million?
Let me ask you this. Who do you think short sellers hate most?
Like what stock?
Yeah.
Probably Amazon. Probably Tesla.
Yeah, well, it was Tesla, and now it's Amazon they hate more. Just keeps going up when they're betting on it to go down. Now, they can't hate Tesla because it is going down. They had another down day. They closed at $301 a share.
They're still today, fighting, and still alive.
Just kind of throw out, there is no market data on Monday. No market data. Market's closed.
Okay. If you have a financial situation and you are not quite sure what to do, I recommend you call a Hall of Fame financial advisor sitting across from the table from me right now, Gregory Ricks, 504-260-0995. Or you can also give us a call or send us a text or learn more about the show or get in touch with our YouTube channel by downloading the Winning at Life app. Coming up next, we're going to tell you more about Gregory's next live event, Gregory Ricks Live, coming up September 12th. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey, happy Friday. How you doing? It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. I guess the long weekend is officially kicked off, so that grounds appropriate.
Hey, we'll be here tomorrow, 10 to 1, live Financial Talk Radio. Same station, same stream.
See, that's one thing I like about you is you don't observe Labor Day, and neither do I. For one thing, it just sounds wrong. So what do you do on Labor Day? That's the day you celebrate work? Well, what do? You don't work. That'd be like on Arbor Day if you went down and cut down a tree. You named it backwards. Labor Day. We're still working tonight. We're still working tomorrow morning. We will be live. So if you want to call in or get someone to listen to the show, or you're like us, hey, the world doesn't stop just because someone said we're off on Monday. Bill's still got to be paid, and Wells Fargo still got to get its mortgage check. So just join us tomorrow morning. We got a great show planned for you that includes Alicia Nugent Freeland. So real estate questions will be dealt with as well.
Best three gain days by percentage for the S&P 500 in the last 68 years. What month do you think that occurred in? Best three up days by percentage for the S&P in the last 68 years.
I'm going to take my contextual bias here and say August.
Nope.
It's not? Oh, come on.
I'll give you a second guess.
Okay, September. Because it's almost September. It'll be September in like 5 hours.
See,
you're
guessing because I'm asking it right now.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not giving you another chance because you're just going down the calendar. It's October.
Oh, I would have gone the other way anyway. I would have said July, I think. Okay. October's the day? I thought October was the day for the big drops. You know, like that was Black Thursday, and that was the big drop after 9/11 when there was a tank. And that was...
Best three up days by percentage for the S&P in the last 68 years. They all occurred in the month of October. So let's make some money in October. Well, since we're at September, let's make some money in September, too.
We made some money in August. We did pretty well.
Look, we get this tariff stuff knocked out. What's holding things back? We got a 4% GDP, jobs numbers, what, 4% unemployment? And there's you see growth everywhere. And now we're getting fair deals with other countries. Yeah, I think this market has more potential. Maybe October is it. The run starts there.
You know what? When I was in New York in June, there was a discussion on the local news where they ran out of cranes. There are so many cranes putting up so many new projects in New York City. And this is New York City. This is the place where it takes forever to get a permit. This is the place where if you want to start a new business, it takes longer to start a business in New York City than it takes in Stockholm, Sweden. And they're supposed to be half socialist. You know, you see that in other cities, too. Houston had a bunch going up last time I was in there. I was in Dallas not too long ago. Cranes were everywhere. I counted six skyscrapers that were being put up in Dallas last time I drove through there downtown. You're right, man. The economy is booming, and it is the greatest untold story of 2018.
The unemployment rate in July of this year for Americans with at least a bachelor's degree. This does say something about education that have... Americans in July, the unemployment rate for those with at least a bachelor's degree was 2.2%. The unemployment rate in July of this year for Americans who stopped their education after graduating from high school was 4%.
That's great.
Something to think about.
Well, look.
Does it mean it's not a case to go out there and get $100,000 in debt? You know, I still think there's something to be said. I did it. You did it. Work our way through school. Sometimes, it can take longer, but gosh, I don't think it's a good thing coming out with a lot of debt. I've seen and talked to too many people. They struggle with it, but definitely you have opportunity to stay employed more so than those that don't. Right there, it kind of set 2.2 versus 4.0.
Yeah, I love it when they do those studies, though, of how education affects your earnings. Because there's a weird little nuance to where if you, like the way they worded that is a specific way. If you stopped your educational pursuits after you graduated high school, that means you didn't do some college. You know, that's a whole different category. There's a category of people who do some college and a category of people who graduate college. And there's a huge jump up from people who go to college for 4 years but don't get the right credits to get their degree and the people who go to college for 4 years and actually get their degree, the number is astounding about how much more those other people make. So it's really just sort of a virtue signal. It's like, hey, look, I can go through the rigmarole of college and come out the other end with my degree. It's not the actual education that happens for a big part of that income.
Let's keep going with some numbers here. And we'll get back to kids here in a moment. Since we were talking about Trump's executive order today regarding giving employers the ability to pool together to create company plans, 65% of 1,825 American employers surveyed in the fourth quarter of 2017 offer a defined contribution plan. That means a 401k to their employees. Just 13% of the employers provide a employer-funded defined benefit pension plan. Transamerica Retirement Survey, source of that. Very interesting. See, once again, Trump's not signing an executive order. Can we get more pension plans going? No, it's the 35% that's not providing them he would like to increase. So what's the average annual cost of hiring a nanny to watch one child?
Wow, one full-time nanny, huh?
Uh-huh.
$34,000.
You're a little high. It's $30,160, $580 a week. Source is care.com. Let's see, who is it? Oh, how about learning to swim? Have you taught all of your children? You know, how many? You have 7, 8, 9,
something like
5.
That. I think 4. We had another one today. The ones that are old enough, they can all swim. I have a 2-year-old. She's about to turn 3 next week. She can't swim. But the other 3, well, I guess the...
So 1 out of 4?
Yeah, but I mean, you can't fault her for not swimming. She's 2.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think she could have learned before 2?
Well, she's slacking. Yeah. She's lazy.
Okay, here I'm just giving James a hard time because he's James. Look, child care. No, not child care. Swimming. 68 people drown in the U.S. every week. Almost 10.
Every week?
Yes. I think it's an astounding number. Almost 10 a day. And we're not bringing boating into this. This is non-boating accidents. Drowning.
Are you trying to freak me out?
No.
No,
you've done a good job. You've just got the 2-year, 3-year-old, basically, that's going to learn here soon. Yeah. Just keep her away from the water until then.
Yeah, we don't have a pool or anything.
So, but isn't that, that's a kind of surprising number. 10 a day. Country where you'd think. But, hey, I could water ski before I could actually swim. I guess I could swim, but technically, I never really swam. I water skied.
And you had your life jacket on?
Then later than that, I made sure I knew how to swim. But yeah, it's like I was water skiing.
Hey, what's coming up September 12th?
Let's see. What is it? Wine, wisdom, and food. We're doing a Gregory Ricks live event. Going to have some fun pairing wine and food. And we're going to pair that with financial advice. We're going to give you some money tips, something you can win with. We're going to talk about building multiple streams of income. I think it's really important. We're going to talk about tax diversity and why understanding risk on how that correlates to the overall plan. I'll even talk a little bit about the guided planning system or proprietary system. But I know that's a bunch of mumbo jumbo there, the guided planning system. However, it's what defines what we do, but it really comes down to knowing where you are and where you're going, how are RMDs going to affect you, you know, what is your tax diversity? Call the office to sign up for that event, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. There are a few seats left that will fill up September 12th. Bruce Chris, RSVP.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday night. Join us tomorrow morning. We're doing it from 10 to 1 with Leisha Nugent Freeland and Gregory Ricks. And your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.